Country Bob FM. Aggressive bell ringing, that's what we need on Monday, final Monday of April, the 27th. Before we get into all the particulars, we have to take care of a Bob Almanac salute.
John is big in cattle, Ray is deep in debt. Where Mavis finally wound up is anybody's bet. Linda married Sonny, Brenda married me. And the class of all of us is just part of history.
Yeah, Harold Reed, him and his brother Don, of course, big part of the Statler brothers. There actually were brothers in the Statler brothers. They originally named the Kingsmen, Neil. Did you know that?
I did not.
They were the Kingsmen, and then the Kingsmen came out with Louie Louie, and they go, oh, we can't be the Kingsmen. So they looked at a box of Kleenex or tissues, if you will, and there was the Statler Brothers Kleenex Company or whatever it was at a hotel, I guess they were at. They saw it, and they took the name, and the rest is history.
There you go.
Yeah, Harold Reed passing away. He'd been battling kidney failure and kidney disease. He was 80, and you know, they got their start with Johnny Cash. They got paid by Cash,
nice,
as you're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold was kind of the jokester. He was kind of the spokesman, and he would outstanding personality, of course. In fact, you know, they had an alter ego. They did comedy albums under the name Roadhog and the Cadillac Cowboys.
Huh.
And Harold was Roadhog. He was Lester.
I did not know that.
He was Lester Roadhog Moran.
Huh.
People
that's great.
May remember some of those albums and cuts and tracks that they did as comedians. They were entertainers, those Statlers.
Multi-talented,
and,
for sure.
Sad to be losing Harold Reed over the weekend at the age of 80. Today is Monday, April 27th. It's the 118th day of the year. We have 248 full days left to go. 1521 on this date, Magellan met his Waterloo, although we wouldn't use that analogy yet because Napoleon hadn't even been born yet.
Right.
There was no real Waterloo. ABBA's song Waterloo or Stonewall Jackson's song Waterloo.
We're not.
Still centuries away.
Right.
But we'll use it anyway just because it fits. Magellan killed by the Filipino natives on. They got just tired of his act.
Yep.
He probably spent too much time there. He was resting with the ships and everything. He was circumnavigating the globe, and he was going to have some straits named after him. But he would not see the end of his trip. His party, his ships would end up circumnavigating,
right,
but not him. He was circumnavigated. He was killed by the Philippines. The Filipinos natives, the state, 1521. 1865, it was the greatest and still is the greatest maritime disaster in U.S. history. The steamboat SS Sultana exploded on the Mississippi River on this date. They had 2,500 passengers on there. Most of them were POWs from the Civil War. Union POWs were coming up back up north, coming home.
Oh, man.
And 1,800 of them died. Up to 1,800. They don't even have an exact count.
Wow.
Close to 1,800.
That is
the way
sad
in that
deal.
Explosion. Yep. This date, 1865. 1938, they used a colored baseball for the first time in any baseball game. This first recorded use of a yellow baseball game, or baseball in a baseball game. It was used between Columbia and Fordham University.
Ooh.
You know, Columbia, that was
Lou Gehrig.
Was the Iron Horse,
yeah,
and Gene Larkin.
Sure.
Gene Larkin broke all the Iron Horse's records at Columbia.
Yep.
But it was Columbia versus Fordham. You know that Charlie Finley guy, the crazy,
yep,
Oakland A's and Philadelphia A's and Kansas City A's owner. He proposed using yellow ball, and I think they used it one game in Oakland one day.
Yes, in the 70s.
And yeah, they thought they would be able to see it. It never caught on.
Nope.
It has caught on, though, in fast pitch softball, Neil.
And slow pitch.
And slow pitch, yeah, sir. Yep. Yeah, include the slow pitch in there if they can afford them for your church league. They're pricey. But they
yeah,
use what's called, it's optic yellow.
Yes.
That's the term. It's optic yellow. And we always like to get our optic yellow references in here on this date, 1938. Happy birthday, KSTP-TV, Channel 5, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Really?
Channel 5. This date, April 27th, 1948, they signed on as the first commercial TV station in Minnesota, one of the first ones in the upper Midwest as well.
Huh.
So happy birthday. Of course, Stanley Hubbard started it. They got,
yep,
their location there on University. It's been there forever. 1948, television comes to Minnesota and the Twin Cities in 1948. 53, the U.S., listen to this, the United States offered $50,000 and political asylum to any communist pilot from any country. It could be Soviet Union or any of the Soviet bloc countries that would deliver a MiG jet. So if you're flying around in your MiG jet over Poland, and if you want to fly to Turkey or one of our allies, land, we'll give you $50,000 and asylum. It seems easier than trying to climb the fence.
Well, it does.
Right? Just get your hands on a MiG. I don't know if anybody took them up on that offer.
No.
I can't remember, and nothing is popping up when I did a search.
Whatever they called home would have been upset with them, I'm pretty
sure.
I
guess those MiGs, those were good planes, as we learned in Top Gun. Those MiGs were tough.
Mm-hmm.
1953. Also in 53, here's a ditty.
I want to get
Not in. That ditty. I want this ditty.
You got yourself a grit-eating pencil-neck geek. Pencil-neck geek, grit-eating freak, scum-sucking peehead with a lousy physique. He's a one-man, no-cut, losing streak. Nothing but a pencil-neck geek.
That's classy Freddie Blassie, wrestler and manager. You remember him, don't you?
Oh, for sure.
So this is the day, 1953, he coined. Nobody had ever used it yet. He coined the phrase pencil-neck geek. And, of course, he called opposing wrestlers and opposing managers and fans pencil-neck geeks for decades after that.
And recorded a song.
1953, almost kind of in the style of Ringo.
Yes, it is a little bit.
Ringo-esque. Yes. I mean, he was channeling his inner Lorne Greene there.
Right.
Freddie Blassie, classy Freddie Blassie, 1953. 1965, it's our patent of the day.
Pampers Special Quilted Lining stays twice as dry.
Pampers! Patented on this date, R.C. Duncan received his patent for Pampers. The environmentalists weren't all that happy about it. They're big into cloth diapers.
Right.
Better for the environment from what they say.
I remember using cloth diapers.
These were easier, though. They were disposable. And, you know, in the 1970s, they showed a lot of babies' bottoms.
They did.
Do that thing where they put that blue paper down, and then they put the baby on, and they would show which one was drier, which one was wetter. Right. I don't think they do that anymore. They may have outlawed that.
They may have.
No more babies' bottoms on television. Plenty of them in the 70s and 80s, though. 1980 or this date.
I want to get in here. I drove an hour and a half. I got an invitation. I want to be in the hottest spot in town.
I have been here many a night and I've talked to people from all over the world, and their ultimate dream is to get in 54.
Well, unfortunately, Studio 54 closed on this date.
Huh.
And it wasn't because it was the death of disco. Disco was trailing off, but there's always been dance music, and Studio 54 and a discotheque would have continued on. The owner was just out of control.
Right.
Just out of control. Drugs and everything going on there. Wasn't paying taxes. So based on, and because of tax evasion, they had to close the place down. They shut it down. They went in there, grabbed all the books and the files and everything. I'm pretty sure I learned all about that on a VH1 Behind the Music episode on Studio 54. And it's pretty much a foregone conclusion, Neil, that if you and I, back in 1979, would have showed up at the front door, we wouldn't even gotten close to getting in.
No.
No way.
No.
1986, this date.
32 minutes past midnight Sunday morning, HBO viewers east of the Mississippi suddenly had their movie, The Falcon and the Snowman, interrupted with this silent message printed over color bars. Good evening, HBO, from Captain Midnight. $12.95 a month? No way. Showtime Movie Channel, beware.
So this guy, Captain Midnight, hijacked the HBO uplink or downlink. It must have been the uplink. He hijacked it and put this little note here because he thought HBO was charging too much just to watch the Jake and the Fat Man or whatever. Falcon and the Fat Man. Fat Man and the Falcon.
Right. Oh, that's good.
So that was this date.
I guess a smart guy, whoever he was.
He was. He obviously had the wherewithal and the technical knowledge to be able to do it. And HBO's
impressive.
Going, oh boy, we got to do a better job of scrambling our signal or something. We got to encode this thing because Captain Midnight's all over us.
Right.
Whether or not they raised or lowered their prices after that, though, we don't know. It would take more time and more research. We just don't have the manpower. That was in 86. 94, Metrodome.
Fly ball, left field. Alex Cole coming in. Meters going out. Cole has it. Erickson has his no-hitter.
Pat Mears almost ruined Scott Erickson, although it would have been an
error.
It would have been a no-hitter. But he almost ran into Alex Cole and ruined the end of the game. But if they would have ruled it an error, which they should have.
Yeah, but you don't want to give an extra out.
No, who knows? That would have been an extra out. Maybe he then gives up a hit. But Scotty Erickson One of the no-hitters for the Twins. He joins Jack Kralik. He joins Dean Chance, Eric Milton.
Yep.
What's his name? Jim Liriano did it.
Yep, Francisco.
Francisco Liriano did it. He's having an awful season. All of a sudden, he throws a no-hitter.
Didn't our other lefty there do it, too?
Eric Milton.
Yeah, no, Milton, I think you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm saying it
Johan
again. Johan? No, he never had an, I don't think he ever had a no-hitter for the Twins.
Jim Perry?
I think he had one with the Mets. Jim Perry never had one. Jim Cott never had one. Jack Kralik had the first one.
Right.
So
Dean Chance, I think, was a rain shortened.
It was a rain short one. I think they've taken that off the record
books.
I think it had a perfect game that was rain shortened, and they took that off. It was a five-inning perfect game. You might have to check that out.
Mudcat, I don't know.
Nope. Scott Erickson, no-hitter, Brewers, 6-0, Metrodome, 1994 on this date. 2005 here this date. This took place in France.
As spectators celebrated its takeoff, the maiden flight of the giant A380 was a technological achievement. The plane had a crew of six and carried 22 tons of test equipment. After nearly 4 hours in the air, the pilot said it handled like a dream.
The thing handled like a dream. The thing was huge. It was the Airbus A380, Neil.
Mm.
The biggest plane in the world. It made the Spruce Goose look like paper airplane. The three-hour maiden voyage proved to be a huge success. The thing could carry 550 passengers. Cost more than $15 billion to design and build. Not one single jet. They're considering all the design and everything into the prototype, Neil.
Sure.
One jet doesn't cost $15 billion.
Okay.
Just so we can clear, because you did sound stunned.
I was.
Your heart skipped a beat. And then 2 years ago in the news.
As we look at this picture, it cannot be overstated. The historic nature of what we are witnessing now. These pictures coming to us outside the Peace House on the southern side of the demilitarized zone that divides the two countries. There you see the two leaders of North Korea and South Korea shaking hands in a demonstration of certainly attempted unity here.
This was historic. Mm. The North Korean leader, the South Korean leader, they all got together and they stepped across each other's border. It marked the first time that a North Korean leader had been in the South Korea, on the South Korean side of the border, since the Korean War. And the big question to you, Neil, is Kim Jong-un dead?
Well, there were certainly rumors flying.
They're talking about it.
Yeah.
They said there was some kind of a death train out in front of his house.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows from those places?
Yeah, we won't know for a while, probably.
Let's just say they invented fake news.
Right.
Those communist countries over on that end of the of the world. So let's move on to birthdays. Now, I looked up Twins no-hitters, and I was right. It was Kralik, Chance, Erickson, Milton, and Liriano.
Yep.
And I think Chance did have a five-inning perfect game that... it still stands, but it's not regarded no longer as a perfect game.
Okay.
FYI. Birthdays now.
She's been told to hang on tight. There's a man who'd make her his wife.
One third of the Desert Rose Band. It's just him and Chris Hillman now, right? They're the ones at least that came to our Bob booth at
yes,
State Fair.
Yes, it's really a two-man deal.
Herb Peterson singing there along with Chris Hillman. Desert Rose Band, regarded as a very good session musician and guitarist. He's 76 today.
Mm-hmm.
The B-52s. My mouse isn't working. The B-52s. One of the two gals in the B-52s, Kate Pearson. 72 today. Cindy Wilson is the other one. Wouldn't be an almanac without some Kiss.
I'm back in the New York groove. I'm back in the New York groove. I'm back.
Ace Frehley, he was the spaceman. Easy to remember him because Ace Space, it rhymes. Or
right.
Frehley's Comet, it makes sense. Ace Frehley, or Frehley, if you want to say it that way, you can.
Mm-hmm.
One of the founding members of Kiss. Yeah, the face paint, it looked good. He is 69.
He went out solo then, too. Took his own band.
He sure did. Yeah. I wonder what that paint did for their pores.
Yeah,
How are they doing now that they're 60, late 60s and early 70s?
Did it block them up?
The Iceman, George Gervin.
Oh.
On our list today.
Fine score.
68. master of the fingertip roll?
He was.
Sheena Easton is on our list today, 21. Yeah, she had another song called Sugar Walls. Neil, are you familiar with Sugar Walls? What do you think of Sugar Walls? You like Sugar Walls?
As far as I can remember, okay, of course, we know. I think you played the Kenny Rogers song earlier.
Sheena Easton, she's Irish. She's an Irish lass.
Lovely lady.
Sheena Easton is 61.
So, you blew the whistle, huh?
Don't say it like that. You make me sound like some kind of stool pigeon.
Well, if the feathers fit.
Vinny?
Oh, it's Vinny. You remember Vinny, Blossom's boyfriend on Blossom?
Not that much, no.
David Lasher is 48 today.
So light 'em up, 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 light 'em up.
Like to mix in some modern music every now and then, just to show that we can.
Who's that?
This is the lead singer from Fall Out Boy. I'm sure you've heard this song, Light 'Em Up. They play it at every sporting event, Neil.
Ah.
You got to pay attention.
I must have been out getting a hot dog.
Get your head out of your beer. Patrick Stump is 36. I know you love that word, Stump. You use it a lot.
That's a great name.
And you use it, you don't even have any trees. 36, our rapper of the day is Lizzo.
Lizzo.
Who is connected to us. You know, she lived here, Minneapolis. She credits Minneapolis for helping to kind of spur on her musical talent. She wasn't born here, but Lizzo is 32. In fact, we also have another rapper of the day, Kay Camp. Kay Camp is 30 today. Two rappers of the day, because I'm assuming later on this week we probably will have a day where we don't have a rapper of the day. So we'll get two with one stone here today.
Now, is Kay Camp a male or female? Do we know?
Does it matter?
I don't know. I wouldn't have known on Lizzo until you said it was a she.
She's big right now. Lizzo is one of the top names.
Okay. All right. Gone but not forgotten. This guy had a code named after him. Morse code. Inventor Samuel Morse, the first message on his new machine was, "What hath God wrought?" Born on this day, 1791, our former president of the day is Ulysses S. Grant. Of course, he came in right after the Civil War. He was a key figure in the Civil War, 1822. One of the greatest baseball players of all time, not Walter Lance, but Rogers Hornsby,
plural.
1896. Correct. Animator Walter Lance, he gave us Woody Woodpecker, Chili Willy, Andy Panda.
Wally Walrus?
Wally Walrus. One of the greats there, 1900. How about Jack Klugman?
I am being ridiculous. Some incompetent downstairs loses tubes, slides, tissue samples, not to mention a human spleen, and I am being ridiculous.
Look, just watch your language.
They lost a spleen.
How do you lose a spleen?
The medical examiner's.
It was here just a minute ago.
As good as he was as Oscar Madison, I loved him as Quincy.
You had to.
He was the best Quincy ever.
Yeah. If you wanted an Emmy, you got to go to Quincy. Jack Klugman, born on this day, 1922. She was married to Martin Luther King Jr., civil rights leader Coretta Scott King, 1927. And he was Casey Kasem.
Holy indestructibility, Batman! Nothing we do affects that unearthly craft.
We've got to think of something, Robin.
He was Robin on the Super Friends. He did Shaggy. A lot of cartoon voices as well, of course.
Yes.
One of the greatest DJs of all time.
Of course, his countdown. But Casey Kasem, the great Hall of Fame disc jockey, born on this day, 1932. And Badfinger guitarist Peter Hamm.
Fans of Breaking Bad know this song, even if they weren't Badfinger fans. They use this song in the final scene of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And he's singing lead here.
Did you really think I'd do you wrong?
Very talented guy. Peter Hamm there, born on this day in 1947, and they're gone, but not forgotten.
Would you like to start a Bobathon with Alan Jackson? He's driving for Daddy Gene. He's Susie Bogusing with Drive South. And what do we else have? Tanya Tucker, Highway Robbery.
Susie today.
Bob FM.
KDDG Albany. KDDG.